Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, February 11th, 2021. Coming up this hour.
House prosecutors release new video and use Donald Trump's own words to make the case to convict.
Joe Biden holds his first call as president with Chinese leader Xi Jinping.
Congress marks another step in progress toward a pandemic relief bill.
And Biden weighs nominating the first black woman to the board of the Fed.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is in quarantine because of COVID concerns. Plus, pornographer and free speech advocate Larry Flint has died. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The Nets won. The Rangers lost in overtime. And fans in New York State can now go to games.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm offering industry expertise and innovative solutions for your business. Experience the Withum way, innovative, adaptive, effective, trusted. Visit Withum.com for more.
And U.S. futures are higher this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 12 points, Dow futures up 71, NASDAQ futures up about 60, and the 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 1.13%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the first day of arguments in former President Trump's impeachment trial.
I'm going to try and get compliance, but this is now effectively a riot.
1349 hours, declaring it a riot.
House prosecutors used previously unreleased footage from January 6th and the former president's own claims of a stolen election to make the case that he laid the groundwork for the violence at the Capitol, Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell.
For months and months, assembled the tinder, the kindling, threw on logs for fuel to have his supporters believe that the only way their victory would be lost was if it was stolen.
And once the siege began, Democrats say Trump could have sent the National Guard or told his supporters to stop, but didn't. Congressman Joaquin Castro.
You've seen all the evidence so far, and this is clear. On January 6th, President Trump left everyone in this Capitol for dead.
Number two, Senate Republican John Thune says the House managers made an effective case.
They got a strong presentation, put it together in a way that I think makes it pretty compelling.
Still, it's unclear whether Thune or most Republicans will vote to convict. The House managers wrap up their case today. President Trump's lawyers will have 16 hours for arguments starting tomorrow.
Reaction continues to pour in over the trial. We caught up with California Democratic Congressman John Garamendi.
This is a president that tried to overthrow the constitutional government of the United States. He needs to be held accountable, not just to make it clear to him that it was wrong, but also in the future that this is simply not going to happen in America.
But for some, the impeachment trial of former President Trump is a waste of time. We spoke with Annandale Capital CEO George C.
This is going to amount to a bunch of nothing. He's already been impeached once before. He's not going to be convicted. They're not going to get 67 votes to convict him on this. And I think it's really a waste of the people's time and money.
Garamendi and C spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio.
President Biden had his first conversation with Chinese leader Xi Jinping last night, a first step in setting a fresh tone with Beijing. We get the details from Bloomberg senior editor Derek Wallbank in Singapore.
Biden and Xi talked about a whole range of issues in their first call. Biden talked about unfair economic practices, signaling that he was not going to be necessarily some full reversal on trade issues with China. Biden brought up human rights issues. He name-checked Taiwan, and that's a really big deal, signals another point of potential conflict. For now, it remains to be seen exactly where this relationship will go. But this is the very first step, and Joe Biden trying to set here an example for which way he wants to go. In Singapore, Derek Wallbank, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Derek, thank you. Meanwhile, there's some progress toward pandemic relief as a key portion of President Biden's stimulus bill makes it through committee. And Amy Morris has an update from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The House Ways and Means Committee signed off on a $400 weekly supplement for unemployment benefits through the end of August. It also expands benefits for self-employed and gig workers and extends the number of weeks the unemployed can qualify for payments. The enhanced unemployment benefits are a key part of the $1.9 trillion stimulus plan. Other parts, like individual checks, aid for state and local governments, and money for COVID-19 vaccines and testing, are still pending. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. As the push for stimulus continues, Fed Chair Jay Powell says the U.S. job market remains a long way from full recovery. He spoke at the Economic Club of New York.
Given the number of people who have lost their jobs and the likelihood that some will struggle to find work in the post-pandemic economy, achieving and sustaining maximum employment will require more than supportive monetary policy. It will require a society-wide commitment with contributions from across government and the private sector.
And when it comes to his post at the Fed, Powell says he's open to a second term if asked. His four-year term ends next February. One person who may be joining the Fed is Lisa Cook. Bloomberg News has learned the Michigan state economist is a leading candidate to fill a vacancy on the Board of Governors. If nominated and confirmed by the Senate, Cook would be the only Black woman on the Fed board.
And turning to earnings now, we have these headlines crossing the Bloomberg. PepsiCo reporting fourth quarter core profit that beat analyst estimates by 1 cent. Revenue also beat. This afternoon, we'll hear from Disney and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
More red ink is expected for Disney in its fiscal first quarter as cinema closings continue to delay movie releases and its theme parks remain capacity constrained or closed. Its theme parks are expected to post an operating loss of $544 million. Studio revenue may fall 50%. Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting a loss of about 38 cents a share. Streaming remains the bright spot as Disney looks to become a global leader. It is expected to report 91 million subscribers to Disney+. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thanks. Now let's get you caught up on some earnings from after the bell. Shares of Uber are down about 4%. The ride-hailing company reported declining revenue in the fourth quarter. Demand for food delivery isn't making up for a fall-off in ridership.
And Zillow shares up 8%. The company reported better-than-expected profit in the fourth quarter. The pandemic-era housing boom drove traffic to Zillow's mobile apps and websites. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up about 12 points. Dow futures up 72. NASDAQ futures up 60. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says that despite receiving a negative coronavirus test, he would quarantine after a family member tested positive for COVID-19. Murphy said in a briefing that he was canceling all in-person events. Meanwhile, the governor spoke at a virtual roundtable on vaccine safety and access in New Jersey's Black communities.
This is not news. We know that this virus has had an outsized impact on our Black and brown communities and in communities, by the way, with a big overlap that have been historically under-resourced, especially as it relates to medical and health care.
Murphy also says New Jersey expects to get a new batch of vaccine doses today and tomorrow. CVS will get almost 20,000 doses, and Rite Aid will get about 7,500 doses across the state. New coronavirus vaccination sites continue to open up in New York City. The New York Mets' home, Citi Field, yesterday became the latest site to offer COVID-19 vaccinations. It's following in the steps of Yankee Stadium. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says he visited Citi Field yesterday.
This site, being run by our health and hospitals team, this site can do 5,000 vaccinations a day, 35,000 vaccinations a week, 24/7. But we need the supply.
The lack of vaccines means only a few hundred people a day will initially be able to get a few shots at the ballpark. The Citi Field hub will reserve people for taxi drivers, food service workers, and other vaccine-eligible residents of Queens. The Trump administration deliberately harnessed racism and class animosity to push policies that caused hundreds of thousands of U.S. deaths. That's according to a scathing new report in the British medical journal The Lancet. The 33 scientists who co-authored the article estimated that rollbacks of environmental and workplace protections led to 22,000 excess deaths in 2019 alone. President Biden is ordering economic sanctions on the military leaders directing the military coup in Myanmar. Myanmar, also known as Burma, is facing severe U.S. sanctions until the government releases the military coup captured detainees.
We're freezing U.S. assets that benefit the Burmese government while maintaining our support for health care, civil society groups, and other areas that benefit the people of Burma directly.
Pornographer and free speech advocate Larry Flint has died at age 78. Flint grew the adult magazine Hustler into an entertainment empire. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. It was 11 months ago the Big East tournament was being played at the Garden. Fans were in attendance, at least for the first half of the first game, but then everyone went home, and fans have not been back since. Governor Cuomo announced doors will now open at 10% capacity. Those fans have to have had a negative test within 72 hours. This right now affects the Knicks, Nets, Rangers, Islanders, Buffalo Sabres, the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, and Belmont Park. Nets and Rangers were both at home without fans. Much-needed win for Brooklyn, 104-94 over Indiana, to end a three-game losing streak. The Nets led by 32 at halftime, and now they get Kevin Durant back from the COVID list. Rangers lost to the Red Hot Bruins 3-2 on a Brad Marchand breakaway goal in the opening minute of overtime. Rutgers was ranked, fell out with five straight losses, got back into the top 25 with four straight wins. Scarlets just lost at Iowa 79-66. And at the Australian Open this morning, 16-year-old Coco Gauff lost her second-round match. It was 4.5 years ago that Colin Kaepernick started the national anthem controversy, and it's back with the revelation that the Dallas Mavericks had not been playing the anthem all season. Owner Mark Cuban said it was his decision.
There is systemic racism in this country. There are people who are afraid to walk down the street in this country. There are people, when we talk about injustice for all, who don't receive justice for all. You know, and that is a problem. So this is a conversation we have to have now. You know, it's the anthem, you know, may be an initiator to those conversations, then that's great. But that's the far more important thing. And that was the genesis of everything that we've done.
An edict yesterday from the NBA, the anthem must be played. Cuban said he would abide by it, and they played it last night. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures right now up 12 points. Dow futures up 80. NASDAQ futures up 64 points. 10-year yield 1.13%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Winter weather advisory till 10 a.m. Could get a smattering of snow, low 30s. Partly sunny, cold tomorrow, upper 20s. More snow possible late in the day, Saturday, upper 20s once again. Currently 26 and cloudy in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. I'm watching some headlines here from Bombardier. It's going to end production of the Learjet aircraft. It also plans to cut jobs. It says cuts should bring its workforce to about 13,000. Again, all those just crossing the Bloomberg. It said it's reducing the overall workforce by about 1,600 positions. We're also getting earnings from PepsiCo. As we reported, it said fourth quarter core profit beat analyst estimates by 1 cent. Snack sales jumped 5% as people stockpiled during the pandemic. Futures are higher. S&P futures up about 14 points. Dow futures up 84. NASDAQ futures up 70. The DAX in Germany's up 0.6%. 10-year treasury, little change. Yield 1.13%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7% or 41 cents at $58.27 a barrel. COMEX gold, little change, down 70 cents at $18.41.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.2122 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3823, and the yen, 104.73. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, it is day three of President Trump's impeachment trial. Yesterday, House Democrats showed chilling new video of the storming of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th as they portrayed the siege and assault on Congress. House impeachment managers say it was the inevitable result of Trump stoking rage among his supporters over his defeat in the election. New revelations about the origin of the coronavirus. World Health Organization investigators told the Wall Street Journal that COVID-19 may have been spreading in central China 2 months earlier than first revealed by the Chinese government, as early as October of 2019. In the NHL, the Bruins beat the Rangers in overtime 3-2. In the NBA, the Nets won. The Wizards lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to turn our focus now from the impeachment trial to policy, particularly foreign policy, and a key step just taken there by President Biden. Bloomberg Chief Asia Economics Correspondent Enda Curran joins us with more from Hong Kong. Good morning. Good evening to you, Enda. President Biden has just held his first highly anticipated phone call with Chinese President Xi Jinping, and it sounds like they covered quite a bit of ground.
Indeed. Good morning, Nathan. I think the big takeaway from the call between the two leaders is that there won't necessarily be a near-term fundamental reset of U.S.-China relations. President Biden, according to the White House readout, underscored with Xi his concern over unfair economic practices. He brought up Hong Kong, Xinjiang, and tellingly, he spoke about China's increasingly assertive actions in the region, including toward Taiwan. Now, at the same time, the China's readout that came on the Xinhua news service earlier today made the point that China is emphasizing cooperation. They want to move past the difficult relations that defined both governments' relationship during Donald Trump's tenure. But China also made it very clear that what they consider to be their own domestic affairs, Hong Kong, Xinjiang, and Taiwan, those are internal affairs, and they want the U.S. to stay out of those.
And that's a position, of course, China has taken long in the past. With the focus, though, on Taiwan particularly and Hong Kong, does this send a signal that human rights could be more of a focus for this administration than it was for the previous one when it comes to China?
It certainly, at these early stages, does indicate a broader suite of concerns than it was necessarily pursued, or at least going beyond merchandise, goods, and technology that seemed to dominate the last administration's agenda. Now, tellingly as well, there was also an important meeting in Washington before the two leaders spoke by telephone call when Taiwan's de facto ambassador met one of the State Department's top officials who oversees Asia, Sun Kim. And that scene is another example of how the U.S. and Taiwan are deepening ties, and it's all building towards this idea that President Biden will continue on some of the more hawkish policies that President Trump administration pursued. And as you say, it will not just be on the economic front or not just on the national security and technology front, but human rights will certainly appear to be a broad part of that too.
Does it signal as well that we could see more of a hawkish approach from China when it comes to enforcing the One China policy?
Well, certainly China, according to their readout, were pushing this message of emphasizing cooperation. They want to move past acrimonious relations. So clearly there are areas where China is keen to highlight they can cooperate with the U.S. on the global stage. But equally clearly, they have highlighted again that Taiwan and other matters such as Hong Kong and Xinjiang, they consider to be their own internal affairs that the U.S. and others should not be interfering with. So the U.S. is clearly doubling down on its criticism, but China, too, is doubling down on its defensive stance that it will deal with these issues on its own terms and not with any guidance from any other powers.
Of course, this call comes at a time when much of former President Trump's China policies are under review by the Biden administration. What indications are we getting in terms of a potential change in direction from the Biden team when it comes to dealing with China's economic practices? I mean, unfair economic practices coming up on the readout is as you say, pretty telling.
That's right. Coercive and unfair economic practices. There's no doubt about it. It seems to be high up the agenda, as it was in the last administration. No indication that President Biden seems to be reversing back from that stance. No indication yet around any meaningful discussion that we've heard of in terms of rolling back on tariffs or anything else. If anything, both sides seem to be sticking with that trade agreement that they've had since last year, that much criticized trade agreement, such as it is. I think it will take a few months before we get to see how the China-U.S. economic relationship plays out from here. You know, we need to have some of the G20 summits that will typically be held over the coming months. Will be opportunities for officials on both sides to get together. And I suspect, given the domestic agenda in the U.S. in terms of the U.S. economy, it may take some time before we see what President Biden plays cards on what he does with the economic relationship with China. But on China's side, I mean, they continue to stick by the trade agreement such as it is. They maintain that they're open for cooperation with the U.S., and they're trying to sell themselves as something of an economy that's open for business and continuing to open to the rest of the world.
Thank you for this, Enda. Great having you on with us. Enda Curran joining us from Hong Kong, Bloomberg's chief Asia economics correspondent. Right now, S&P futures moving higher by 14 points. Dow futures up 89. NASDAQ futures up 72.5 points. 10-year Treasuries little change. The yield just shy of 1.14%. 2-year yield 0.10%. And the offshore yuan 6.4221 against the dollar. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. House impeachment managers continue to build their case against Donald Trump in the former president's second impeachment trial. Nancy Lyons has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
In opening arguments, Congressman Jamie Raskin started things off saying the former president violated his oath, becoming the insider-in-chief.
Look, if you're president of the United States, you've chosen a side with your oath of office. And if you break it, we can impeach, convict, remove.
He put it in more simple terms.
As Justice Scalia once said, memorably, you can't ride with the cops and root for the robbers.
Democrats say Trump escalated his efforts to overturn the election, first using words, then legal challenges, followed by secret calls to elections officials, and then finally a call to violence. In Washington, I'm Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Nancy, thank you. As impeachment takes center stage on Capitol Hill, U.S.-China relations are in focus at the White House. President Biden had his first conversation with Chinese leader Xi Jinping. We get the details from Bloomberg's senior editor Derek Walbank in Singapore.
Biden and Xi talked about a whole range of issues. Biden brought up that the U.S. believes that China is engaging in unfair economic practices. He also brought up Taiwan as well as some human rights issues where the U.S. and China are sure to be very far apart. There's going to be a continuation, certainly, of the Trump program vis-a-vis China under Biden. But it may not be exactly that same relationship going forward.
U.S. tariffs on China will remain in place for now as the White House develops a broader strategy on China.
Meantime, there's some progress toward pandemic relief. A House committee signed off on a $400 weekly supplement for unemployment benefits through the end of August. The measure would also expand benefits for self-employed and gig workers and extend the number of weeks the unemployed can qualify for payments.
And we could soon have a new governor at the Federal Reserve. Bloomberg News has learned President Biden may nominate economist Lisa Cook for an open seat on the central bank. If nominated and confirmed by the Senate, Cook would be the only black woman on the Fed board.
And futures are higher this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 13 points. Dow futures up 80. NASDAQ futures up 66. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury little change, yield 1.13%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.9% or 53 cents. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says that despite receiving a negative coronavirus test, he would quarantine after a family member tested positive for COVID-19. Murphy said in a briefing that he was canceling all in-person events. He declined to identify the relative, but said the person lived in his home and was not his wife. The governor has four children. Meanwhile, the governor spoke at a virtual roundtable on vaccine safety and access in New Jersey's black communities.
Underscoring our efforts is the need to ensure that residents trust in the safety of the vaccines. We need every resident to know that they can trust these vaccines, which are our most potent, not our only weapon, but our most potent weapon against COVID.
Murphy also says New Jersey expects to get a new batch of vaccine doses today and tomorrow. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says he visited Citi Field yesterday when it opened up as a mega vaccination site. It's following in the steps of Yankee Stadium.
So Citi Field's just opened. It's going to be building up more all the time. We're going to get to a 24/7 basis. That's our goal starting next week. But look, as of next week, we'll be able to do thousands of doses a week.
De Blasio says as of now, the lack of supply means only a few hundred people a day will initially be able to get shots at the ballpark. President Joe Biden said his administration will sanction military leaders in Myanmar linked to this month's coup.
I again call on the Burmese military to immediately release the democratic political leaders and activists and that they're now detained, including Aung San Suu Kyi.
Biden also says they will ensure the country's military leadership can't access about $1 billion in government funds held in the U.S. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stanchar.
Well, Nathan, I think that the knock on the Nets was they couldn't play any defense. They certainly did last night. Nets led Indiana at halftime 62-30, their biggest halftime lead in 9 years. They outscored the Pacers in the second quarter, 35-12. Indiana shot 4 of 21 in that quarter. Pacers made up a lot of the deficit, but Brooklyn won 104-94 to end a three-game losing streak. Kyrie Irving scored 35 points. He took 17 free throws and made them all at the Garden, Rangers and Bruins in overtime.
Now you got a 2-on-1 the other way. Buchnevich over the line, right side into the right circle, and his pass knocked down by McAvoy. That will leave a breakaway for Marchand. He'll carry it into the left circle, pull and drag, shoots, he scores! Marchand puts the sword away as the Bruins win it in overtime at Madison Square Garden, 3-2 over the Rangers.
UBZ had the call, Saints 2 will play again tomorrow. College hoops, Rutgers lost at Iowa 79-66. Governor Cuomo with the announcement that some sports fans in the state have been waiting for. The doors can now open to spectators. Cuomo pointed to the success of some fans being allowed to attend the Buffalo Bills playoff game. So any venue that seats at least 10,000 can now have 10% capacity. Every fan has to show proof of a negative test. The Nets, the first team to announce their plans, are about to start a five-game road trip. When they return to Brooklyn February 23rd, fans can attend. Tom Brady completed 21 passes in the Super Bowl and another one yesterday at the Buccaneers Super Bowl celebration in Tampa. Brady threw, underhand, the Lombardi Trophy from his boat to another. Sure enough, it was caught by the Bucs' Cameron Braid. John Stashow with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Had to be underhand. All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As earnings continue to pour in this week, General Motors posted strong results but issued a cautious forecast for the year. Still, CEO Mary Barra tells us the outlook is strong.
We're going to have a very positive year in 2021, not only from a financial perspective, but also the continued acceleration of our EV and our AV business.
GM CEO Mary Barra spoke with Bloomberg's David Westin, and you can catch more conversations like that on Bloomberg Balance of Power weekdays at noon on Bloomberg Radio and Television. 6:37 on Wall Street. Now let's take a look at stocks and names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. More earnings to tell us about, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll start with Uber. The shares are down 3.5% in early trading. The ride-hailing company's fourth quarter revenue fell more than analysts expected in a Bloomberg survey. Now, surging demand for food delivery failed to offset a decline in ridership. Now, Uber did have a narrower than expected loss. And we've got Pinterest up 7%. Microsoft approached the social media site in recent months about a potential takeover. That's according to the Financial Times, citing unnamed people briefed on the matter. Microsoft and Pinterest declined to comment to the FT. Microsoft shares higher in early trading by 0.5%.
All right, let's take a look at some of the other earnings that have just been crossing this morning, particularly in consumer staples.
Right. You've got PepsiCo shares higher by 0.5%. The soft drink and snack makers' fourth quarter earnings just beat the average estimate. Revenue surpassed projections by a wider margin. We'll get results later this morning from a couple of other food companies, Kraft, Heinz, and Kellogg. And then after the close today, Disney. And those shares are up 0.75%. MasterCard's higher by 2%. The payment network will begin allowing cardholders to use some digital currencies. MasterCard disclosed the plan in a blog post that also said it's, quote, actively engaging, end quote, with central banks on their cryptocurrency plans. As far as results out late yesterday, we can run from A to Z really quickly. Okay. The cable company Altice USA, they own Optimum and Suddenlink, down as much as 2.5% late yesterday. The casino owner MGM Resorts down 4%. The real estate information provider Zillow Group higher. They have two classes of shares. One of them's up 11.5%. The other one up 8.5%. And Zynga, the video game maker, specifically mobile games like Words with Friends, up 4.5% in early trading after reporting fourth quarter results. And Tilray is starting to look like this month's GameStop. I say that because you've got a gain of about 13% in the maker of medical marijuana products. It's higher for a fourth day as Reddit-driven traders pile into cannabis stocks, just as they did with the likes of GameStop last month. And then the first 10 days of February, Nathan, Tilray was up 253%.
Yeah, that is high. Thank you, Dave. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson with us this morning. Taking a look at markets as a whole ahead of the Thursday morning open. Futures moving higher as well. Not as much as Tilray, perhaps, but green on the screen with S&P futures up 12. Dow futures up 76. NASDAQ futures up 67 points. That's a gain of 0.5%. 10-year Treasury little changed this morning. The yield 1.1399%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. The winter weather advisory expires at 10. We'll get about less than an inch of snow on top of what's already fallen. Low 30s, partly sunny, upper 20s tomorrow. More snow late in the day Saturday. Right now, 26.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are higher this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the green right now with Dow futures up 72 points. S&P's gain 12. NASDAQ futures rise by 63. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.14%. Gold is down 2. And China, Japan, as well as South Korea were all closed as the lunar holidays begin. European markets are quiet right now, and back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30 initial jobless claims. After the bell last night, Uber sales trailed estimates, and regarding some of the earnings this morning, Pepsi EPS beat estimates, and look for Kellogg to report around 8 a.m. In other news, dating app Bumble exceeded IPO goals to raise $2.15 billion, and MasterCard will allow some crypto transactions. In deal news, the FT reported that Microsoft approached Pinterest in recent months about a takeover. And wrapping things up, Cisco raised to buy over at DZ Bank. Ferrari cuts a hold at HSBC, and Under Armour raised overweight over at Piper. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Care.
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And again, Bombardier will stop making Learjet aircraft and cut 1,600 jobs as part of a wide-ranging plan to boost profitability and reduce costs. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, it is day three of former President Trump's impeachment trial. Yesterday, House managers unveiled chilling security footage from the Capitol showing rioters breaking into the building and searching for Vice President Mike Pence and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. House managers argue that Trump whipped up the mob that attacked the Capitol. Joe Biden held his first call as president with Xi Jinping, pressing the Chinese leader about trade and Beijing's crackdown on democracy activists in Hong Kong. A White House statement says Biden raised concerns about Beijing's coercive and unfair economic practices. Biden also pressed Xi on China's actions toward human rights abuses. In the NHL, the Bruins beat the Rangers in overtime 3-2. In the NBA, the Nets won, the Wizards lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include President Biden holding his first call with Chinese President Xi, President facing the pandemic without some key health officials in their posts, and White House officials backing economist Lisa Cook for an open seat on the Fed board. Also making news, House Democrats using newly released footage and former President Donald Trump's own words to tie him to last month's Capitol riot. Let's get more on all this now from Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. And Emily, even some top Republicans who heard yesterday's first full day of arguments from House impeachment managers are saying they made a pretty compelling case.
Yeah, Nathan, we're hearing from Republicans that they were fairly moved by what Democrats presented yesterday. Democrats used security footage that was never seen before, and they really sort of tied through the narrative of the day, adding personal touches in there as well, messaging how they were texting their family members to tell them that they love them because they weren't sure if they were going to see them again. That said, you're also hearing from a number of these Republican senators that the task of the Democrats is to tie what happened in the Capitol directly to what Donald Trump said. And a number of senators yesterday said that they just haven't seen Democrats make that argument yet.
So it sounds as though, in terms of the arithmetic for a conviction, that high bar of 67 senators voting to convict is still kind of where it is.
Yes, at this point, we really haven't seen any indications that there's going to be a major shift for votes to convict Trump. It sounds like he is headed for another acquittal. That said, we don't know yet what every last senator is thinking. There's a lot of people looking and watching Senator Mitch McConnell, the minority leader, to see how he decides to move here.
What more are we expecting from the House impeachment manager's case today? They still have time to lay out even further arguments.
Impeachment managers are going to go ahead and be wrapping up their case today. I think we can expect sort of more of what we've seen with sort of the compelling testimony videos. I mean, yesterday it was so notable watching this impeachment hearing from the previous impeachment trial. At the last one, senators were up, they were moving around, they were talking with each other. Yesterday you saw them sitting in their seats, absolutely silent, staring at the video, just very, very focused, very sort of emotionally attached to what was being said. So a very different mood inside the chamber this time.
And do we have a sense at this point of what the president, the former president's lawyers are going to present as far as their case goes?
Well, their main arguments are that, number one, anything that Trump said is protected under free speech, and also that the things that he said on January 6th were not responsible for the mob that went to the Capitol. This mob was sort of being planned and being discussed well before Trump gave his speech on January 6th. Of course, the Democratic response to it is they want to pull the lens back a little bit, say this isn't just about what he said on January 6th. This is about his continual lie that he won the election after it became very clear that he did not.
All right, let's move on to what's been going on at the White House in parallel with the activity in the Capitol. President Biden just had his first highly anticipated call with the president of China, Xi Jinping.
Yes, they discussed a number of top concerns, including Taiwan, Hong Kong, the Uyghur population, and different economics. We're expecting to see the Biden administration really continue to take a sort of strong and aggressive stance with China, kind of continue the Trump administration a little bit in that. They also discussed other ways that they could potentially work together, COVID-19, response to climate change. President Biden said in a tweet that he will work with China when it benefits the American people.
Speaking of the pandemic, of course, that has been the president's main focus. But there's a very interesting story on the Bloomberg terminal this morning pointing out that fight is going on with many key health positions in the administration still unfilled.
Yeah, this has sort of been a common thread throughout the start of the Biden presidency, is that it is taking so long to get people into his positions. I mean, part of that reason is because the Senate took so long to get an agreement on how they were going to function with that 50-50 split. And now, of course, they have the impeachment trial, which, you know, during that, no legislative business can be conducted. Senators must be at their seats. It kind of means that everything else is brought to a halt. So we don't have the Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra. He is not yet confirmed. He's not even going to have a hearing until the week of February 22nd. And the White House is trying to step up the pressure on the Senate to move more quickly with his nomination.
Finally, tell us a little bit more about what we're hearing as far as who the president could be thinking about to fill the open seat on the Fed board.
So we're starting to hear the name for economist Lisa Cook. She has the backing of several key White House officials and allies outside the administration and inside to sort of fill that vacancy. The White House hasn't contacted Cook yet, but she would help Biden's goal of diversity. She would be the only Black woman on the Fed board. And as a Michigan State grad myself, I do have to mention that she does teach at the university.
Go Spartans. All right. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you, as always. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. At 6:55 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT, more at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. About 1 in 3 Americans say they definitely or probably won't get the COVID-19 vaccine. The poll from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research found that while 67% of Americans plan to get vaccinated or have already done so, 15% are certain they won't, and 17% said probably not. Up to half of new diabetes cases in the U.S. are linked to obesity. A study published in the Journal of the American Heart Association found the frequency of obesity was increasing among adults and was consistently higher among those with type 2 diabetes. Obesity was linked to 30 to 53% of new type 2 diabetes diagnoses each year over the past 2 decades. And a Chinese spacecraft entered Mars orbit on a mission to land a rover and collect data on underground water and possible signs of ancient life. The orbiter rover Combo became the second spacecraft in 2 days to reach the red planet. An orbiter from the United Arab Emirates led the way on Tuesday. Next week, the U.S. will try to land its Perseverance rover on the Martian surface. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. February is Black History Month, and Bloomberg Radio is celebrating pivotal moments in U.S. Black history each day. Here with today's installment is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 1990, Nelson Mandela was released from prison after 27 years behind bars. It was a key event in ending South Africa's brutal apartheid system of racial oppression. Tens of thousands of supporters cheered on Mandela as he walked out of the prison gates that day. After his release from prison, Mandela would be elected president of the African National Congress. He'd continue to lobby for the complete dissolution of apartheid. So later on in 1994, the anti-apartheid activist, lawyer, and former political prisoner was elected president of South Africa, ruling until 1999. That's Today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And futures this morning are rising. S&P futures up 12 points, Dow futures up 75, and NASDAQ futures up 64. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 1.14%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.10%. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.